I'm Jeannie Holzbacher, and on behalf of myself and my fabulous co-host, Jill Wright, we want to welcome you to Executive Shine, Conversations That Count. We search the planet to bring you some of the most dynamic leaders in various industries who often only have one thing in common: uncommonly outrageous positive impact on people and businesses. They are leaving this world a much better place. So kick back and join us. Grab a few insights you can immediately apply to leverage your leadership and foster greater connection in a world that's become increasingly disconnected. They so desperately need you to shine your light bright. Cheers. All right. Welcome to another episode of Conversations That Count. And tonight, our special guest is Dr. Mark DeBrincat. And he is here to talk to us about some pretty powerful things in life. But he brings, Dr. Mark brings a wealth of knowledge. Not only did he get his undergraduate at Michigan State, down the street from my company headquarters, and I would say go Big Blue, but he's going to fight me on that one. But he has quite a unique history, not only a black belt in martial arts, doctorate in chiropractic, did some work with the Olympics in 1996 in US, Africa, New Zealand. And the biggest thing is, when I saw skiing and snowmobiling and golfing on his list of activities, recreational, that's where I said, okay, what's up here? Because that doesn't add up to a man who was supposed to never walk again. So that's the part we want to tie into is, why don't you share a little bit about how you got to the point, Dr. Mark, where you were given that kind of information?
Oh, hey, well, thanks for having me here. I guess I'll just go ahead and share my screen, because picture paints a thousand words. So this was back in 1997. My wife and I were in a head-on collision with an 18-wheeler on the highway. We hydroplaned in the rain and spun out of control into oncoming traffic. She broke her neck, shattered her vertebra, and had to have them replaced with the cadaver shin bone. 95% of the people with her injuries are killed immediately, and the rest are usually paralyzed. So we say, by the grace of God, she's still with us, and we're both still here. I had some pretty more concrete, severe injuries. I shattered my pelvis in half. I ripped the muscles off my legs. I lost a good section of my intestines, and I damaged my spine in a bunch of areas. So it was, I'm not going to kid you, quite the long recovery. They told me that I wouldn't walk again, and I just refused to believe the advice of the doctors if I don't like the advice. And so I am definitely an outside the box thinker. And I'm a fighter, you know, I'm not going to just sit there and not walk again, and certainly not try to walk again. So I fought for many years, unfortunately had a couple other accidents in the midst of that. But after a total of 17 years, I literally got all my abilities back. And now I just live a life of paying it forward, teaching other people how to not live in pain, not live in these conditions that they hold like a badge of honor. And it just doesn't have to be that way. Our bodies are so wonderfully and fearfully made, and we're making new cells all the time. So, you know, my big epiphany in the whole healing process was knowing that no matter how damaged my spine and my cells were at the time, hey, I'm making new cells all the time. And so that next version of these types of tissue cells are definitely going to be better than the ones I currently had. And so that gave me a lot of inspiration and a lot of sweat equity with all of that inspiration to really fight to try to get better, try to find that breakthrough, you know, continuing to have the right mental attitude to be able to facilitate the next version actually being better than the last. And so from being a doctor that specialized in brain and spinal trauma patients for many years, had to become my own best patient, and then had to literally give a lot of faith to the process and a lot of hard work into the things that made sense. And of course, I tried a lot of things that didn't work, and that's just the way it is. You know, not everything works for everybody, but, you know, we learned a long time ago how powerful our minds are. And I used to think it was just all about the nutrients and the avoiding toxins and eating clean and exercising and all lifestyle stuff that was going to help me make that change and help me get better and help me avoid all the genetic diseases that plague so many people as they get older in life. And I just didn't want to ever become one of those statistics. And so I learned a long time ago that our attitude plays such a role in that. And over 50% of the role, if you're ever going to activate those genes or not, is simply just based on the type of attitude and the thoughts that you're having regarding your circumstances and the situation. And I remember growing up, people would always ask me, is the glass half full or half empty? And, you know, I think of my mom and what she used to say, and it would be like, it's completely full, half water, half air. So it just depends on what set of facts you're choosing to look at in your circumstances. And there's always a brighter side, and there's always a side of the facts that there's a reason why that happened. And there's a reason why it's going to change the way you're dealing with the situation and how we think about it going through that situation. Inevitably, it's just about trying to optimize our neurology, optimize our bodies, and really be the best version of ourselves that we can be. So I don't know if I actually answered a question or just kind of stepped on a soapbox and started talking, but so that's been the journey, and it's been quite an amazing journey. And now I'm so blessed to be able to pay that forward and help other people how they can find those breakthroughs faster than what they think and be able to become the person that they're really trying to be.
One of the things, Mark, I want to talk about the power of belief and how you used all of that epigenetics and all of those things to heal. But you touched on one thing when you were talking a minute ago about how your cells are reduplicating
themselves. Replacing themselves, sure.
That's one of my favorite things that you teach. And so tell our audience how fast it goes to completely regenerate different things in the body. I just think that's amazing. And nobody tells anybody that.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me, and people really just need to have more reverence and more awe on how amazing our bodies are and what they're actually doing and accomplishing. I mean, I think the majority of the people out there just really aren't in tune with themselves. You know, they think, well, I have enough energy to get up and get to work, so there I have it. And I know I got to put stuff in this hole in my face to keep this energy thing going. But outside of that, do they really pay much attention to what their body's telling them and how their body's healing and just the whole miraculous process of life and what's going on inside our bodies? So in relationship to what you just said, we literally replace every cell that we're going to replace in less than a year. We used to think it was like this 7-year process to replace the tissues in your body. And modern science shows us that it's just not the case. And so our eyeballs are actually the fastest changing organs and the fastest changing tissues in your body. It only takes 48 hours to completely replace your eyeball. Now, that's minus the lens. The lens is the part that you were born with, and you're going to have that lens the rest of your life. Same thing with the brain cells and spinal cells. These are part of our central nervous system, and your eyes are just an extension of your brain, really. It's the only part of your brain that's actually on the outside of your skull. And so it's an extension of your brain. Now, your eyeballs take 48 hours to replace themselves. The gums inside your mouth only take 2 weeks. Your throat takes 2 months. The lining inside your lungs only takes 8 days. Your heart takes 6 months. Your blood vessels take 6 months. Your bones take the longest. Your bones take 11 months, 3 weeks, and 3 days. So outside of that, you have a time period for each tissue that it knows it's only going to live so long, and then it's got to call out for a new cell. We lose a layer of telomeres, and then the new cell arrives. Now, we're hoping that next version of my cell is actually going to be as equal or better than my current version. But if you're not paying attention to that, most likely it's going to be a little bit worse than the current version, a little bit older, a little bit less functional. And so when we make a new cell, are literally, it's not like just a copy paste, how easy it is to do that in the computer. We literally have to replicate through our RNA. We replicate 3 billion copies of our DNA. And we rummage through those 3 billion copies to try to find the cleanest version, the one that's the youngest, the one that's the best functioning out of all of them. And then that's the one they pick. And that's the one that gets stamped into the new cell. So you got 1 in 3 billion chance of making the next one better than this one. It's just a matter of what are you doing? And as I mentioned before, we used to think it was all about, you know, like the physical things you came in contact with and ate, and whether I'm exercising or not and drinking water or not or sleeping or not. All these things played such a huge role. And as we mentioned, it's the power of your thoughts that's literally going to activate those genes or not. So think of the fact when it's making the new cells, one of the jobs of that, of the previous cell, is to always be looking out the window and getting a weather report. And if it's a beautiful sunny day like it is here in Colorado, hey, keep making 3 billion healthy cells that don't stress out about like the weather outside. Like there's nothing to be in danger. We're all good. Just make me the healthiest version that I can. Now that's if I'm happy. If I look out the window and it's like lightning and thunder and storming and the trees are bending way over because the wind is so strong and I can feel the glass moving, I'm freaking out. Like this glass is going to break and we're all going to die. And so immediately, because of the danger it's sensing, I start activating my armies of soldiers to come out and fight a battle for me. This is why we're activating genes. It's not because I came in contact with a pesticide or did this or that. I mean, that could happen too, but we give so much weight to the physical world, the things that we touch and the things that we're exposed to, when over 50% of the equation of whether we're ever going to activate those genes or not, it's all our attitude. And it's the chosen thoughts that we're choosing to think and allow ourselves to feel that's going to determine, do I need that next version of my cell to come out with like 3,000 soldiers to fight with me? Or is it good? Can it just be a bunch of soldiers that are happy and well-fed and with their families and, you know, on active alert, but, you know, we're good. There's no war present at the moment. And so we don't have to create all these defenses in fear of this happening. Unfortunately, most people that have health issues, I think their attitude's the first thing to go, you know, and it's like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. I have this condition. And with the poor attitude, how do you expect your soldiers to do the right thing? I mean, you're just recruiting a bunch of people that want to go fight. And then you wonder why you have all this war going on inside your body instead of peace. And so, I mean, I don't know how many different ways we can spin that exact concept, but our attitude determines our human performance and it determines the next version of ourselves. And so if we just all had a bigger smile and hugged a few more people and, you know, had a better overall attitude, it's amazing at how fast your body can remodel and re-heal and overcome these conditions. A condition is just a thing you're going through right now. It's just a thing. It's not something to be proud of. It's not something to hold on to. And it's certainly not something to put a stake in your front yard with a flag and say, this is me. I have this condition and this is me. It's just an expression of your nervous system at the moment. And it's to get your attention typically, like, hey, this is a warning light. Something's wrong. Let me teach you how to work more in harmony with your nervous system and let us overcome this. Our bodies can overcome almost anything. In fact, 95% of every condition out there can be easily managed and overcome with our diet alone. But we lack the discipline because we want the comfort and this reward and, you know, all of that so many people make poor choices. And it's not about being perfect all the time. It's okay, reward yourself, but it's a glimpse. Your body looks at a glimpse like a hiccup. It's no big deal. It's what are you doing the majority of the time? What is your diet consist of the majority of the time. That's what matters. You can't do the right thing 20% of the time and think you're going to make a dent in your health when it takes the 80% to do that. Now, the good side and the good news about all of that is it just takes a lot more discipline and effort to get you healthy than it does to keep you healthy. You know, maintaining health is fun and it's easy and, you know, you have your life to live. And so you're actually living it. It's when you lose your health, man, it's like if you don't feel good, I guarantee you're not looking good either. And if you're not looking good, how much good are you really going to go do? You know, it's like how much good can we do in love and serve and give if we don't look good and I don't feel good? It's like we got to take care of ourselves first. And for those people that are listening and that are out there that, you know, love giving and loving and serving, we have a problem because we don't take care of ourselves first most of the time. And we're doing it until we reach the darn reserve, the mental and physical reserve. And then we even push it a little bit longer thinking I got a little more in me. And we just can't do that. We have to like the airport, put your mask on first, then take care of your children. People need to learn to have more of that balance, feed your brain with the positive things that matter, right? It's like, if you're going to burn sugar in your brain to process energy, make it matter. Don't waste it on thoughts and things that are negative and that aren't serving you, that have no life-giving properties to you. They're not growing life or love inside your body. And if you're not thinking those thoughts, you need to kind of question the thoughts that you're thinking and think of some new thoughts to think. Maybe write them down or look at them, you know, something. But it has to start there. You can't have in the middle of the road, you know, it's not like it's almost positive or it's almost negative. It's either a positive or a negative thought. That's just how life is. And so myself, much like Jeannie and Jill here, we're certified optimists. We can't help it. We're wired to think positively, help you positively, help anybody in our path positively, because those are the only facts that really matter. To me, I mean, those are the things that make the mountains move. Those are the things that make people engage and actually do something about it. You can sit around and complain all you want, but complaining and not doing anything about it isn't productive. It's not productive at all, right? And so we want to have action towards the things that matter in our lives. And it all starts with the power of your thought. Power of your thought is what's going to get you out of bed in the morning. It's going to give you that extra energy to burn the midnight oil at night and do something that's for your job, for your career, for your family, for somebody you love, for yourself. You know, we have to take action on things, and it all starts with a thought. You can't really monitor somebody's motivation. I mean, how do you measure it? It's just so dynamic. Either you're a motivated person or you're not. And if you're not, look for the ways to be motivated. I mean, that's what changes. It's not just a thought. The thought starts with an action, and then the action turns into a result of some sort. You don't just think about things. We think and then go do, right? And the going and doing is what really makes the big difference. And be patient. It just takes time to get through some of these processes. Sometimes certain things happen much faster than other, but you have to keep your focus on the end result and that end goal. And you'd be surprised at how much effort, energy, and wisdom that you can apply and accomplish anything that you put your mind to. If somebody can think it or dream it, we can do it. And so, I mean, it's easy to say that now that I'm sitting here pain-free and I'm happy and I have good balance in my life. But years ago when I was in my wheelchair, if somebody told me, hey, just look at the bright side and all the things you can do, it was like, all right, I get that. But I'm tired of you telling me that I should just be happy for what I have and accept all the things that I'll never be able to do and that I'll never be able to have. When that's just not true, you know, I'm just not going to hold on to this negative advice that I'll be in this chair the rest of my life. You're basically telling me that you give up on me. And I just want to thank you for finally getting to that point, because now I know not to waiting for you to help me get through that next breakthrough. I'm going to go find it on my own. If it's not you, it's somebody else, or I'm going to invent something. I'm going to figure it out. because that's just my nature. I want to be better so bad, I'm not going to just accept the limitations. And you shouldn't either. Your body is so much more powerful and amazing than anybody gives it credit to. Literally 400 million bits of data go into your nervous system every second, turning into 65 quadrillion chemical reactions every second in the fluids of your body, in the dark, I might add, turns into replacing 100 trillion cells. That's quite the amazing thing. I can't do that, certainly not in the dark. So I give my credit to where the credit is due. It's that little helper inside of me that knows exactly what I need, how to do it, and how to manage it. I just have to be a good steward of what I expose to my temple and my body and what I'm actually putting in it. You're the only one that controls what you're putting in it. Okay, you can make any excuse about everything else in our environment, and the air is toxic and the radiation from the sun, I'm getting radiation. I mean, you can point out all these things that literally are not in our control, but what we're eating is definitely in our control. And how we're choosing to think about our day, our activity, our life, the people in our life, the things we're choosing to see, think, and do, that's under our control. And so if we learn how to, you know, correct a course, self-correction into a course down the street of joy and easiness and happiness and positive attitudes and positive outlooks. You know, you could take anything like the glass half full or empty and then spin it into it's completely full, half water and half air. And so it's, again, any circumstance, it just goes back to the set of facts that you're choosing to look at. And those, the more you choose to look at them, are going to make you feel a certain kind of way. So why focus so much on the negative side of everything versus the positive side of everything and look at what your life is like? You want to be attracting people in your life that are like you? Well, only if I'm the positive version of me, you know, but you're going to attract it either way. So be careful about what you're thinking, because not only are you feeling that way, but now you're telling the universe, hey, I want more people that feel like this to come find me so I'm not alone. And then you're just a bunch of negative thinking people. So we got to have somebody in the crowd that's turning that positive switch on and bringing life and love back into our lives and our conversations.
That's right. Like Jeannie, you've had a whole new life in the past couple months.
Yes, it has been. And I keep getting, I'll call them opportunities to really sit back and evaluate from it's about detox. It's about emotional, spiritual, and physical detox for me. You know, I had a health scare and I took an opportunity. I chose to see it as a gift, even though it's not a gift I would have chosen. And it's not even a gift I'd re-gift to somebody else. But what I can do is take it and learn from it and say, what can I change to make things better? And, you know, in hindsight, Jill, and I had talked about this, there were some goals I had professionally for my life. And not only Jill and I, but a friend recently this week talked about, well, you know, what's your two-year plan? And I said, this is my 2-year plan. And she said, well, that was your 2-year plan 4 or 5 years ago. I said, that's true. But I didn't anticipate the amount of energy that I'd be doing caregiving for a parent with dementia. So that kind of slowed the process down. And I said, and quite frankly, this health scare has made me see that it's just possible I was unaware that how out of alignment I was. I mean, I want to talk about natural living and natural health. And yet up until January, I was wearing artificial nails. You know, that's just one little example of when I started digging deep and not in judgment, but in curiosity, because that changed everything. Instead of judgment, which I'm so used to doing to me and others, it's curiosity now. And I said, let's see what this is telling me. This is telling me, oh, nurse executive, you are not, it's a gift that these things that you wanted didn't happen yet. Because you weren't in alignment from an epigenetics, you know, non-conscious, subconscious, and conscious level. My body knew it. My body knew it because our cells are listening to everything we're saying.
And that's the good news for people, is that our cells are listening. And so then we need to be really conscious of what we're putting in there. and we've got to go to commercial break. But when we come back, let's talk about what are the different things that we can do to be able to keep our bodies in optimum health and keep our attitudes in the best possible place to support all of our healing.
Are you ready to be ageless and live limitless? Unlock your codes of longevity and discover how to age in reverse, look and feel years younger, perform at your peak, and express boundless energy, vitality, and joy. This and so much more is possible because it's no longer a question of if we're living longer. We are living longer. The question is, how well do you want to live beginning today so that you can flourish and thrive at any age and any stage of life? This book brings together more than 20 of today's health and longevity leaders to share with you the secrets that exist within so that you truly can unlock your code and you can live your long life well beginning today. So now is your time to go to codesoflongevity.com to order your copy so that you truly can look, feel, and live life optimized to 120 and beyond.
So one of the things I wanted to ask Mark, because he has gone through it, and we saw from the wreck, we saw from the many years. Mark, here's the thing that I've had challenges with in the past that I'm really, in my curiosity, coming to terms with. Is I'm an optimistic person by nature, but I've had to really face the fact that when I am scared, and this is a little Caroline Leaf epigenetics training that I'm working through right now, but I've had to face the fact that when I am scared or I am frustrated, look at what it is and learn to recalibrate it into something more positive, where in the past I might have tried to ignore it or tried to shove in hiding a positive verse or scripture over it rather than face it. And speak to that a little bit. How do you handle that? Because you had to have had some point in those 17 years where you found yourself discouraged and you overcame it.
You know, I was really good for the first, 7 years or so. Very positive, just like really fighting to try to find the answer and find the answer. And then it got to a pretty dark place. And coincidentally, it was as soon as I finally gave up, put the white flag and let him start medicating me. So I had gone close to 14 years without even taking a Tylenol or nothing over the counter or anything. And I lived in constant pain all the time. Mm-hmm. But I always told myself pain was inevitable. Suffering is optional. And I'm just choosing not to suffer. But I had to know. I had to know where the pain was, how intense it was, what it was feeling like, and what it was doing, because it always changes. It always fluctuates. It comes in waves. But I knew that as soon as I started medicating myself, then I wouldn't have that sense anymore to know where I was at. And that was my greatest fear, is I didn't want to do that because then I didn't think I would ever be able to get off the med. I'd become so dependent on it and then start living in a bubble. And it got to the point that I was at a pain level 10 all the time and I couldn't do anything. I coucouldn't move. I was in bed for like 2.5 years. And so I'm like, I can't live like this anymore. Just medicate me. Give it to me. If this is how it's going to be and I'm never going to find the solution, then give me the meds. And that was the longest, most challenging 3.5 years of my 17 years of getting through it, was once I finally decided to medicate myself. I would fluctuate from a pain level 10 to an 8, and the best meds would only get me to an 8. And I literally would pray every night that the Lord would come take me. I wasn't suicidal, but I was ready to be done. This body was broken down. It had been so many years. I lived in such intense pain that I wouldn't wish it for anybody. I literally forgot what it was like to not feel pain. And I would have bet my life 7 years ago that I would never walk again and I would never be pain-free because it had just been so long. And so it was hopeless. I mean, I got super depressed. It was the only time in my 27 years of marriage that I would raise my voice consistently to my wife in front of my kids that were in middle school even and didn't care. And it was horrible. It was like this, I was in quicksand and I was slowly sinking, and I didn't see a rope in place, and there was nobody throwing me a rope. It was just like, this was how it was going to be, and my life was most likely not going to be much longer. And that was the first time out of 17 years of living in a pain level 8 to 10, that was the first time that I was hopeless, like tanked, like, that's it. God's given up on me. There is no healing. Everybody that tried to help me can't. And everybody that couldn't help me is gone. And so it was dark, and it was a time of really looking inward, you know, like you said you had to do, and find out what matters. Like, what is it that really matters? And in that deepest place, furthest away from my connection to God in all of that, he touched me, and he didn't say the words to me like I did in my accident. I had an audible, I'm going to be okay. Your wife is fine. Lay down and rest. I felt his grip on my hand. It was exactly what I needed at the time to make it through the next 12 hours that were a living hell. But that was a physical touch and an audible. I didn't feel that, but it was like I looked up in the corner of my room and it was pitch black, and I saw a white light that was a cross in the midst of the corner of the room. And in my mind, I had my epiphany that, oh my goodness, I just remembered all my cells actually are going to turn over to a new cell. And that was the light that gave me the hope, and where it all became restored, that this body's tanked. I get that, but oh my goodness, there's another one evolving in me. And if I start changing the way I think about that, maybe that next cell, it's gotta be better than this one. This one's is like, I'm at rock bottom. This is low and is far away from wanting to be alive that I could ever feel. And then I got my ounce of inspiration. And that little bit of an epiphany, realizing, oh, it's right. And then in my mind, I'm thinking, my eyes, 2 days, my gums, 2 weeks, my throat's 2 months, my lungs, 8 days. You're right. I could have new lungs in 8 days if I just change and start thinking about it. And then just waiting for the next breakthrough to happen. And I'm going to learn something. I'm going to see something. I'm going to come in contact with something that I've never heard of before that might be that breakthrough. Or if I can just hang in there long enough, people are inventing stuff all the time. I just have to hang in there long enough until the rest of my damaged cells find their replacement. Oh my goodness, this is so exciting. Life is coming back into my body. I'm feeling my nervous system come back alive, and I was getting hope again. And then it was like every day was a little better. And granted, we had some ups and downs and some trials and things that didn't work, but every day was better from that moment. Once I didn't just think it, I internalized it, I believed it, and I imprinted that into my heart and into my being. And there wasn't anything any doctor or anybody could say that was going to take away what God had in store for me around that next corner. And then I found it, and then I found another one, and then another one. And it became so amazing that it was like, I expected the next breakthrough, even though I didn't know where it was going to come from or who was going to give it to me. It was just like, I knew it was right around the corner, and it was just like, hang in there long enough till you find it. And then it's like one after another, and I was prophesized over. And they told me that all these things were going to change, and you're going to be speaking, and people are going to be moved, and this chair is going to be gone. It's just a thing. And I remember being in the chair at the time and thinking, who is this cat? This is a joke. Does he not see me? Does he not see this physical chair? Does he not realize what I've been through and what I've tried that didn't work? And he's saying all these things over me. I just forgot about it and didn't even think about it. And then within 2 months from him speaking all that over me, I did find it. And then I found the next thing. And it wasn't until a year later that I've already spoken in 300 something stages about the joy and the recovery and how I shed the chair and I shed the pain and it's all gone. And I found that recording of that guy and I listened to it. And it was like all the hair on my body stood up. I just started bawling. And literally everything that he spoke over me came true already in that first year that he spoke it. So the power of your voice, the power of your mind, the power of your thoughts to take the positive things and run with it. It is never too late. As long as you're breathing, you have an opportunity to turn yourself into a better version of yourself each and every day that you're alive.
That's the good news.
Well, I don't know if you realize this, but as you're talking about the cells in our body renewing, and as you're talking about looking up in the corner and seeing across, I'm sure you know this, but there's this verse in Colossians that says he makes all things new, and it's talking about Christ and obviously the symbol of the cross. And yet laminin is the protein molecule that's in every single one of our cells, and it's the rebar that holds every cell together. And yeah, if you look at it microscopically under a microscope, what you see is a protein molecule in the shape of a cross.
That's right.
So here you are talking about all our cells and when they regenerate. Here it's all connected.
Yeah, I love it.
It's all connected.
I learned about laminin right around the same time that happened, actually.
Seriously? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Right around that same time. And it was like another gift. And then they looked at this new Hubble telescope that could look to the farthest extent of the universe. And we found a star that you could put in 250 million Earths inside this one star. And at the very center of that galaxy is another cross that looks just like lamina. So in the greatest, biggest, farthest reaching thing in the universe that we can see, down to the tiniest little crevice of the inside of the center of your DNA in every single cell of your body, is the cross that ties it all together. How beautiful is all that?
Pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. And when you think about it, I think when I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about my own life experience and I'm thinking about conversations Dill and I have had, it's really much more simple than we make it. This is about understanding and grasping a sense of our worth and stepping into it.
Yeah. Receiving all the gifts God has in store for you.
Not saying I'm only taking some of them or I'll take most of them, but you keep those, but no, bring it all on.
Bring it all, man. It's like, oh.
It's not about doing either. It's about being, isn't it? I've been so busy doing for so long that slowing down to take this look is unfamiliar territory for me, but it's very healthy.
I think so many people are just programmed to pack as many things into the day that you can, put more on your plate every day than you'll ever finish. So you always have this urgency feeling like you're missing out and there's something I got to do. And you know, that's just the way our society is trying to program everybody to be. I mean, you think about your cell phones and people are like, kids can sit here for 5 hours playing with their cell phone, put a book in front of them and see if they can actually read words on a page for more than 5 minutes, and they can't. There's a problem with that. It's like we are so programmed to have way too much input and not smell the roses, enjoy the beautiful blue skies, you know, take a little time for yourself. It's like, how do we expect to keep running at that rate and not burn out and end up dying from some failure of some organ? It's going to starve to death if we don't take care of our health and ourselves. It's so imperative. And I'm guilty of it too. You know, it's like we want to serve people. And so we get to work a little early. We stay a little late. And I get home and I got patients all over the country that are now chiming in. They need to get my attention. And I just do it because I love and serve. But it's hard to have that balance. And we do need that balance, every single one of us.
Yeah, we do.
It's so true.
You know, I'm thinking too, Jill, when we were talking about, I think for me, it's not only the balance, it's dying to who I've been so that I can become who I'm meant to be. And who I'm meant to be is not a robot people pleasing all day long and overachieving so that everybody's happy. As a matter of fact, who I'm meant to be might require, it's different for each of us, right?
Sure.
That's for me. My lesson is I need to learn to say no more and die to the people pleasing. For other people, they may need to learn to say yes more and get involved. It's different for each of us. But I think it's a matter of being willing to go to that scary place and say, let's have a look. Let's have a look.
Yeah. That's what they say. Remember, I was talking about the truth. When you tell the truth and when you have awareness of the truth, it releases trapped energy. So what is disease is basically trapped energy. Mm-hmm. So when I think it's almost like a process, like for you, Jeannie, I know that you've had gift after gift after gift in this healing process that you're going through. And I know Mark's had the same thing. And now both of you are going to be able to use these gifts because these are kind of gifts that keep on giving. You know, the gifts that Mark got have now gotten hundreds of people out of their wheelchair. You know, the gifts that you've got are going to release some of these issues for women and start to help them to really honor all that they are and to bring that into what they're doing. So it's just amazing how God works and how things happen in our life. And it's really true. All things work together for good.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, in the reprogramming for me, it's, I have to turn off the news. I have to shut out the negative stuff. Is free and it's there 24/7. I have to make a conscious effort to take ownership as the CEO of the real estate in my mind and just say, let's look at what's going on. Because one of the things I've learned is the mind and the brain are not the same thing. The brain is programmed and dictated to by the mind as well as the cells. And so for me, I've had to learn to make sure I build more good stuff in consistently, daily. I have a daily ritual now. And I'm going to tell you, Mark, you might know this even better than we do. When you start, I've only been on this journey, this new part of my journey for 2 months. Some parts of my body are and my mind are already regenerating and it's showing up. My eyesight, I went to the doctor and she says, what are you doing? And I said, why? She goes, I haven't seen this in 23 years. Are you sure you're okay? And I said, why? She says, your eyesight went from 350 in both eyes to 75. I've never seen this much improvement. She would not issue me a prescription because she thought it was temporary. I had to fight with her after 2 months and finally I got it today. I got my contacts today because she's finally realized it's not going away. It's still this good.
Wow.
Now, and that was a gift to me. And my skin has changed and started clearing up. And I'm like, that was a gift to me. One of my coworkers texted me on a Zoom and said, why do you look 5 years younger? And I said, I do. That's what programming the mind has done. It's like a facelift.
Well, I've always said that we're wired for success when we're born, and then we get programmed for failure based on what we're allowing people to have an impression on us, right? And so, you know, it just takes a little bit of work sometimes to get in there and reprogram your brain for success again.
And so that's what I'm still doing. I'm reprogramming it more so that the rest of those, I feel like those are little signs that we're on the right track. Just keep going, Jeannie. Just keep eating clean. Just keep adding in the alkaline diet. Just keep drinking lots of water. It's the little stuff, taking out sodas and putting in only water. Mm-hmm. Adding good supplements.
Absolutely.
So I feel like you're right. It's not about diet as much as it is about mindset, but it all plays together. And but by no means am I done with my journey. None of us are.
Well, I think diet plays almost as important of a role. If you're not going to eat the nutrients, you can't build better cells out of thin air. You know, mm-hmm. the mind and your attitude is going to determine Is it a negative or a positive cell? We talked about your cells are listening. You mentioned that in the beginning of this podcast. You have 100 trillion cells. If you literally had 100 trillion kids and they were all listening, I probably wouldn't say a third of the things I say just because it would have that much an impact on 100,000 of them. They're going to take everything so seriously. It's like, and so we have to treat our bodies as if we have 100,000 children inside and I need to feed them. Is it going to be important for me not to miss a meal? You bet. Is it going to be important for me to have all my whole food supplements so that I have life insurance and I get the building blocks now for my cells? You bet. Is it important for me to eat clean? If I don't filter out the stuff that's coming in, my body becomes the filter. Yeah, I think that's kind of important. And so all these things play a role, and our attitude about it's going to determine really how efficient we get through it, you know, and how effective we are. People don't give enough credit to their attitude, and it can shut systems down real fast in your body. It can turn other systems on real fast in your body too. And so you have to guard those negative thoughts and use them very sparingly. Learn a little lesson from them very quickly. It's okay to think a negative thought, but just don't let it be a magnet that sucks you into a cascading event of one, then another, then another, then another. And next thing you know, you're running down that negative road. You know, when I was a kid, my parents used to put a rubber band around my wrist. And every time I complained or said something negative, I would snap myself. And it just hurting my wrist for a few days. I turned myself into a certified optimist when I was like 12. And so it worked. And it's been that way ever since. And I've never had to use the rubber band again. But sometimes people need to be reminded how many times they're thinking or saying something that literally is negative. People say, oh, I'm not a negative person. And then you write down the next 10 things they say and you give it to them. You're like, did I really say that? It's like, wow. And I was just pointing something out. I'm like, no, I know. It's not like you're trying to be negative. You're just thinking and speaking about all the things that you're in your world or in your visual field right now that you're not liking, instead of all the things that are in that same place that we do like. You know, it's interesting. You could put 10 people in a room, have them sit there for 5 minutes and on a piece of paper, write down 10 things about this room that impact you or that you're thinking about or that you like or that you notice, just 10 things about the room. You would have 10 people with 10 completely different things. Now, two people would be in there and have the same experience in 3 minutes in the exact same room. What makes me think that somebody in my path has had the same experience in any aspect of my life, of their life? Similar maybe, but not the same. So listen and learn. Right? We're a forever student. And that's one of the things that helps me have a better attitude is I don't think I know it all. I know a lot about some things, but I certainly have so much more to learn every single day of my life. And I'm a forever student. And that's another part of that side of you that if you're open to learn, hey, you're open to change. And I'm open to stay positive and I'm open to try something new, you know? So it all ties together. It's like a magnet.
As we're wrapping up, a couple of things. One, I want to know how people can reach you. And two, where your website is. Mm-hmm. What would be like your parting words if you could just really hone in on some of what we talked about today? What stands out the most that you'd want them to take away?
You know, the biggest thing that I want you all to take away is that it is never too late. There is a better version inside of you. And myself and other people that love and care about you, they want to pull out that Olympian in you. We're all in there. You have part of you that is willing to dig down and fight hard and accomplish the impossible. What you used to think was impossible, it's no longer impossible. There are so many things that every single year we learn truths about healing and about the body that we once thought was crazy talk. Just the brain itself. We thought that you're born with the same cells that you die with, okay? And they're not capable of regenerating. Well, that's true, But those brain and spinal cells also can make a new cell. Even if it's not like trying to replace something, it can create neuroplasticity. We didn't learn that till 12 years ago. So that's one of those things. So never give up. Fight hard. Think brain health. Think nervous system first, because that's how you're experiencing your life. Now, you can get a hold of me at thegoodnewsdoctor.com. And that's doctor with either DR or spelled out as doctor. Either way works. We also have a website. A YouTube site, The Good News Doctor. And I have The Good News Doctor podcast, where we do podcasts also every week and bring the good news that we educate on different topics of whatever the concept or the topic is for that day. I bring on a guest as well that has a lot of experience in those areas. And then we talk about the good news. It's not just understanding the problem or the condition, but the good news is that it is never too late and that we can turn it around. And there's always something that you can do to experience a better quality of life. And that's what we're so passionate about bringing to you and your loved ones and your family. So thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And I did put all that information in the show notes. So that will show up in the archives and people can connect with you. And that was just so, that's my word, life-giving. And so that's the thing, is just to keep giving life in all aspects of life, to each other, to ourselves, to our brains, to our organs, all of those things. So makes such a powerful difference.
Awesome. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you so much for joining us. And this concludes another episode of Executive Shine, Conversations That Count.